Welcome to the Coda Catch-Up Podcast. My name is Jamie Jones, and in this 11th news episode, we're talking about a whole bunch of different little things that have come up recently. Now, this is a little bit of an older one, but it's 19 tips for everyday Git use. This is from someone who's been using Git full-time for the past 4 years, and they wanted to share their most practical tips. There's some really, really good tips in here. There's a couple that I've brought into my own workflow, and I've made little aliases or shortcuts in Git itself to run some of these. They're really handy. Highly recommend checking it out. It's by Alex Crass. I hope I'm saying that right. I'm really bad at pronouncing names, so I do apologize if I got that wrong, Alex. But it's a really, really great great little article on bunch of great, like fantastic little Git tips. And I love Git, and it certainly is something I can't live without in my projects. And there's some, you know, as I said, fantastic tips in here. It's a definite must-read for anyone who is using Git, which should be everyone, hopefully. So, yeah, check that one out. The next one is product strategy means saying no.com. Now, this is by Intercom. Intercom have really been pushing out a lot of great articles lately. That must be to do with their marketing. They've been doing this for quite a while, but it just seems lately that more and more come up. I'm not too sure if it's just because I'm using Intercom now and it's just becoming more prevalent. But they've certainly got a lot of great articles as well as free books. This one's really good. So it's more so aimed at kind of product managers. And they're saying here, a great product manager knows how to say no to ideas that don't serve their product, their vision, or their customers. So a fairly simple article, but it's really well done. Like you kind of scroll through and it runs through like a scenario of two people, or actually two animals, going down and talking and seeing, like, you know, oh, well, how about we do this? And it's basically the product manager, who in this instance is this dog, saying no to a bunch of stuff that you might think, hey, that sounds all right, but keeping that focus is really good. It's a great article, I suppose, not even for product managers, even for web developers in general, because you kind of can see the point. It kind of gives you some insight. I'm always a big advocate for learning all the sides of things. So if you're a web developer and you don't do any business stuff, it's kind of good to know the business side of things, because then if say a product manager or the business owner or something like that comes across and speaks with something, you kind of have that understanding. So it's really good. So I recommend everyone read that. The next is up. And it's a tiny little bit of script, a little bit of JavaScript that makes sure that your site is always there for your users. So this is when you don't have any internet connection. It can do certain things. One of the best parts I like it is basically you just say, when it's offline, go to this particular template you might have, which will cache locally. So what's really cool about this is, say you're a hotel, right? Or you're doing a site for a hotel. If they're traveling somewhere, maybe they're on a train or something like that, that loses connectivity and they're trying to find the number for something or the address, they can still go to the site, and you can have a specific offline page, which I think is really good for that, just generally being able to get in contact with the place or find the directions or anything like that. So it's really handy. It's a very, very simple little script. It's super lightweight. Yeah, it's really, really awesome. So what they're saying is they're visiting your site from a phone in an elevator, from their tablet on the subway, or on their laptop while they sit cramped into seat 25E, which I'm assuming they're talking about on a plane there. But it's quite cool that they're talking about service workers and stuff like that, but I definitely recommend checking that one out, up. Pretty cool. More of these things are starting to come out, this offline first kind of thing, but this is kind of like bridging the gap, and I think it's a great solution. The next one is, which is something that really hits home for me, is an article on Medium by, I'm not going to say her name, but it's Carolus. I'm not going to say her last name because I will butcher it. So, but it's a fantastic article. I believe I recommended this on Medium, if you do follow me on Medium. It's called Preventing Burnout for Programmers. I've spoken about burnout before, or multiple times throughout the podcast, even having a dedicated episode to that one if you want to check that out. But it's a really good article, and it's handy to show things like a manager who might not know about burnout, as well as just family and friends. It's because burnout is a pretty serious thing. And yeah, it's a fantastic article. It is 100% a must read. So please make sure you go and read that. I've got all the links in the show notes for this episode. The next one is Awesome Rails Gem. So basically, it's a GitHub repo here that has a collection of awesome Ruby gems for Rails development, funnily enough. So it's just a simple, this is something I was doing a long time ago, and someone actually has made this, their own version of it, obviously. And it's all categorized nice, and it runs through what it does, all the different gems. It's really good, and there's some stuff that I didn't know about here. There's some potential handy little gems. Recommend checking that one out. It's fantastic. The next thing is Modernizer 3 has been released. So if you're not too sure what Modernizer is, it's essentially a little script you put on in your website or application, and it can do feature detection for you as well as some polyfill stuff at times. Number 3 is pretty awesome. It's basically they restructured everything and added some new features. There's, I think, 100 or so new detections that have been added in. Really, really cool. If you are trying to push things around and making sure you provide good fallbacks, Modernizer is a fantastic way to go, and I think that should be used on nearly every project. The next one is Clipboard.js. Now, this, some people will really get this. It's pretty exciting. So if you ever wanted to copy something, like say you had on your website somewhere, someone can copy a code snippet to paste on their site, you had to use like a little bit of Flash to do that, and that was real pain, especially as the industry moved away from Flash and a lot of people stopped installing Flash altogether so they couldn't use that feature. Well, that feature has come now, and it's finally in plain old JavaScript. It's 2 kilobytes, there's no Flash, no dependencies, so it's not doesn't depend on jQuery or anything like that. And it works just as you'd expect. You know, you can put a little icon anywhere and you attach it via a class or an ID or whatnot, and boom, you can copy text from an area. It's very simple to set up. They give you access to do data attribute stuff. It's fantastic. It's a great, great little JavaScript. Yeah, awesome. Really, really check that one out. I'm sure a lot of you will see it and be like, finally, it's happened. The next one is Otto. Now, this one is basically the successor to Vagrant. It's quite cool. It's quite interesting. It's kind of a get-out-of-your-way development thing. It's not quite Docker, but it kind of gets there. So Otto, it's this simple little application that sits on your machine, and you can run like Otto Dev, and it will essentially run your dev environment, and it will do some automatic detection. So if it knows it's a Rails project, it will set up a box that is suitable for a Rails application, and you know, awesome, fantastic. But where it goes further is you can actually use that to deploy. So you can deploy to things like AWS, and your same environment as what you're developing in is in the cloud. Put that in quotes, the cloud, but it'll be up there on AWS. So you're kind of bridging that gap of having what we are currently moving from, like, local development in Docker, and then having to get a deployment strategy for Docker in onto, say, AWS or DigitalOcean or something like that. It kind of bridges that gap. Now, I haven't actually really got to play around with it. I had a little fiddle, but it seems pretty cool. Like, the ability to automatically detect what you need and then populate it and make it happen is really handy, but you can also customize that as well, which is quite cool. So you don't have to rely on what they recommend. You can also create your own little file to set things up as you need. So it's quite cool. I really like that. Something definitely worth checking out. Is it a Docker killer? No. Is it comparable to Docker? Not quite. I'd say they're their own little beasts. But yeah, go check that one out at autoproject.io. Really, really cool. Now, the last but not the least is Rails Remote Conf. That's coming up November 5th to November 7th. And it's an online conference. There's lots of speakers there. Fantastic thing. Charles Max Wood reached out to me in one of my meetup groups and let me know about it and a few things like that. And it looks awesome. So I recommend checking that one out. It's at railsremoteconf.com. This looks to be pretty awesome. I really like these online conferences. They're pretty cool. Anyway, that's essentially it for the news. And I hope everyone's doing well. I hope you're enjoying the podcast. If you do have a chance, please, you know, rate, review, leave a reply on at CodaCatchUp on Twitter, send an email through to CodaCatchUp@gmail.com, or even leave a comment on CodaCatchUp.com. Anyway, we'll catch you in the next episode.